blessing.
Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 118, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. As thirst the heart for cooling flood, so longs my soul, O living God, to taste thy grace. And when unto thee shall I draw near, O when within thy courts appear, and see thy face. Stanzas 1, 2, and 3 of Psalter 118. Scripture reading for this afternoon hour can be found in the Gospel according to Luke, in the first chapter, beginning with verse 57 to the end. Luke 1, beginning with verse 57. But first we will make confession with the 12 articles of our Catholic, undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father, Almighty Maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, and was crucified, dead and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe and Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Luke 1, beginning with verse 57. Now Elizabeth's full time came that she should be delivered, and she brought forth a son. And her neighbors and her cousins heard how that the Lord had showed great mercy upon her, and they rejoiced with her. And it came to pass that on the eighth day they came to circumcise the child. And they called him Zacharias, after the name of his father. And his mother answered and said, Not so, but he shall be called John. And they said unto her, And there is none of thy kindred that is called by this name. And they made signs to his father, how he would have him called. And he asked for a writing table and wrote, saying, His name is John. And they marveled all. And his mouth was opened immediately, and his tongue loosed, and he spake and praised God. And fear came on all that dwelt round about them. And all these sayings were noised abroad throughout all the hill country of Judea. And all they that heard them laid them up in their hearts, saying, What manner of child shall this be? And the hand of the Lord was with him. And his father, Zacharias, was filled with the Holy Ghost and prophesied, saying, Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he hath visited and redeemed his people, and hath raised up an horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he spake by the mouth of his holy prophets, which have been since the world began, and that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all that hate us, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant, the oath which he sware to our father Abraham, that he would grant unto us that we, being delivered out of the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life. And thou, child, shalt be called the prophet of the Highest, and for thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission of their sins, through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the day spring from on high hath visited us, to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, and was in the deserts till the day of his showing unto Israel. So far the reading of God's holy word. We will now read the form for the administration of holy baptism, which you can find on page 55 or 126 in back of your Psalter. The principal parts of the doctrine of holy baptism are these three. First, that we with our children are conceived and born in sin, and therefore are children of wrath, insomuch that we cannot enter into the kingdom of God except we are born again. This, the dipping in or sprinkling with water, teaches us whereby the impurity of our souls is signified, and we admonished to loathe and humble ourselves before God and seek for our purification and salvation without ourselves. Secondly, holy baptism witnesseth and sealeth unto us the washing away of our sins through Jesus Christ. Therefore we are baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. For when we are baptized in the name of the Father, God the Father witnesseth and sealeth unto us that he doth make an eternal covenant of grace with us, and adopts us for his children and heirs, and therefore will provide us with every good thing, and avert all evil or turn it to our profit. And when we are baptized in the name of the Son sealeth unto us that he doth wash us in his blood from all our sins, incorporating us into the fellowship of his death and resurrection, so that we are freed from all our sins and accounted righteous before God. In like manner, when we are baptized in the name of the Holy Ghost assures us by this holy sacrament that he will dwell in us and sanctify us, to be members of Christ, applying unto us that which we have in Christ, namely, the washing away of our sins and the daily renewing of our lives till we shall finally be presented without spot or wrinkle among the assembly of the elect in life eternal. Thirdly, whereas in all covenants there are contained two parts, therefore are we by God through baptism admonished of and obliged unto new obedience, namely, that we cleave to this one God, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, and that we trust in him and love him with all our hearts, with all our souls, with all our mind, and with all our strength, and that we forsake the world, crucify our old nature, and walk in a new and holy life. And if we sometimes through weakness fall into sin, we must not therefore despair of God's mercy, nor continue in sin, since baptism is a seal and undoubted testimony that we have an eternal covenant of grace with God. And although our young children do not understand these things, we may not therefore exclude them from baptism. For as they are without their knowledge partakers of the condemnation in Adam, so are they again received unto grace in Christ. As God speaketh unto Abraham, the father of all the faithful, and therefore unto us and our children, saying, I will establish my covenant between me and thee, and thy seed after thee in their generations, for an everlasting covenant, to be a God unto thee, and to thy seed after thee. And this also the apostle Peter testifieth with these words, for the promise is unto you and to your children, and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Therefore, God formerly commanded them to be circumcised, which was a seal of the covenant and of the righteousness of faith. And therefore Christ also embraced them, laid his hands upon them, and blessed them. Since then baptism is come in the place of circumcision, and therefore infants are to be baptized as heirs of the kingdom of God and of his covenant. And parents are in duty bound further to instruct their children herein, when they shall arrive to years of discretion, that therefore this holy ordinance of God may be administered to his glory and to our comfort and to the edification of his church. Let us call upon his holy name. O almighty and eternal God, thou who hast, according to thy severe judgment, punished the unbelieving and unrepentant world with the flood, and hast, according to thy great mercy, saved and protected believing Noah and his family, thou who hast drowned the obstinate Pharaoh and his host in the Red Sea, and hast led thy people Israel through the midst of the sea upon dry ground, by which baptism was signified, we beseech thee that thou wilt be pleased of thine infinite mercy graciously to look upon these children and incorporate them by thy Holy Spirit into thy Son, Jesus Christ, that they may be buried with him into his death and be raised with him in newness of life, that they may daily follow him, joyfully bearing their cross, and cleave unto him in true faith, firm hope, and ardent love, that they may, with a comfortable sense of thy favor, leave this life, which is nothing but a continual death, and at the last day may appear without terror before the judgment seat of Christ thy Son, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who with thee and the Holy Ghost, one only God, lives and reigns forever. Amen. While the children are brought in, let us sing from Psalter 273, stanzas 1, 4, 5, and 7. Thou, O Jehovah, shalt endure. Thy throne forever is the same, and to all generations sure shall be thy great memorial name. 1, 4, 5, and 7 of Psalter 273. I now request the parents to arise and to answer the following questions. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, you have heard that baptism is an ordinance of God to seal unto us and to our seed his covenant. Therefore, it must be used to that end and not out of custom or superstition, that it may then be manifest that you are thus minded. You are to answer sincerely to these questions. First, whether you acknowledge that although our children are conceived and born in sin, and therefore are subject to all miseries, yea, to condemnation itself. Yet that they are sanctified in Christ, and therefore as members of His church ought to be baptized. Secondly, whether you acknowledge the doctrine which is contained in the Old and New Testaments and in the articles of the Christian church, and which is taught here in this Christian church, to be the true and perfect doctrine of salvation. Thirdly, whether you promise and intend to see these children when come to the years of discretion, whereof you are parents, instructed and brought up in the aforesaid doctrine, or help or cause them to be instructed therein to the utmost of your power. What is your answer, Mr. and Mrs. Everett Venny, Mr. and Mrs. John Shipper, Mr. and Mrs. Ralph Van Driesten, Mr. and Mrs. Peter Van Worthausen? Parents, when we read in our forum the blessed meaning of this holy sacrament and that blood which is typified in this water of that sacrament, then who is really able to fathom the meaning thereof? Then you think maybe a little along with those who say that we ought to be immersed in it because we are from the crown of our head to the sole of our foot, wounds and bruises and putrefying sores, and now to be washed and to be cleansed. Then you say, I'd like to immerse my whole body in that water. Peter, he said, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. And then it was in his heart that he was polluted within and without. And yet the Lord Jesus said to him that he that is washed need but to wash his feet. That is really the power of that blood. One drop of that blood that is now sufficient for our child and sufficient for ourselves. Why is it then that so many children are baptized, and yet we hear so little of the experience of that washing and of that cleansing? That is that spiritual washing. It is because there is no need. It is not because that blood is not powerful enough. It is not because that blood is not there even to this day, but it really is because that we do not feel the need to be washed. Reverend Comrie, he says then there is that foundation missing. That is not that foundation on the outside of us, but it is the foundation within us that he says is rooted in the knowledge of our misery. And therefore, parents, we have now to bring up our children. And when we begin to bring up our children when they are so young, and then we have to lay for them a foundation. Oh, that it may be bound then upon our heart, that they may know what their sin and their misery is, that we may upon our knees beseech the Lord that He would teach them that first part. Because when they may learn that first part, and then their own cry that is going to ask, that is going to seek, that is going to yearn after that second part. And when they may learn that second part, then the Lord will receive all the honor and all the glory. That it may be burning within our heart, that our children and may not only be partakers of this sacrament, but you all have more children, and you have been here before. And so you know what our life is, and you know also how insufficient that we are to carry out the promise that you have said yes to in this afternoon. The Lord help you. The Lord remember you and give you a place on your knees before Him for yourselves and for your dear children. After baptism, we ask the congregation to arise and to sing Psalter 425, stanza 5. Justin William, I baptize thee in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Carianna Lene, I baptize thee in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Jaden Luke, I baptize thee in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Leah, I baptize thee in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.
With Abraham
let us now close with thanksgiving and at the same time ask a blessing upon this service. Almighty God and merciful Father, we thank and praise Thee that Thou hast forgiven us and our children all our sins through the blood of Thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, and received us through Thy Holy Spirit as members of Thine only begotten Son, and adopted us to be Thy children, and sealed and confirmed the same unto us by holy baptism. We beseech Thee, through the same Son of Thy love, that Thou wilt be pleased always to govern these baptized children by Thy Holy Spirit, that they may be piously and religiously educated, increase and grow up in the Lord Jesus Christ, that they then may acknowledge Thy fatherly goodness and mercy, which Thou hast shown to them and us, and live in all righteousness under their only teacher, King, and High Priest, Jesus Christ, and manfully fight against and overcome sin, the devil, and his whole dominion, to the end that they may eternally praise and magnify Thee and Thy Son, Jesus Christ, together with the Holy Ghost, the one only true God. Look upon each and every one of us. Lord, Thou knowest that we also are baptized, or that we also may be given in this day a reminder of that which we as parents have promised, but that we may also receive a place by Thee, O Lord, the preciousness of the cleansing power of that blood that shall be felt by those who know themselves to be a leper, or those that know themselves to be so filthy and corrupt. Lord, make that blood precious to each and every one of us. By nature we see no form, we see no comeliness in that beloved Son of God, but Thou hast given Him to be the Savior of the world. Thou hast given Him power, O Lord, when He has satisfied everything and that was on His part. Oh, may Thou give the application amongst us and our dear children, that that name may be spread abroad not only over the world, but that it may be in a need in our hearts, that we also may come to that saving knowledge of Him. Lord, look on us in this day. Wilt Thou be with us under the preaching also of Thy holy word? Be on our right and on our left hand. Oh, give us a little liberty. Give us a little opening in the preaching of Thy word, that together word and sacrament may redound to Thy glory and to the salvation of our souls, to the comfort of Thy true people. Forgive all that is sinful for Jesus' sake. Amen. Let us now sing from Psalter 389, stanzas 1 through 4, while your offering is received. Lord, hear me hear me in distress. Regard my suppliant cry, and in Thy faithfulness and righteousness reply. In judgment do not cause Thy servant to be tried. Before Thy holy laws, no man is justified. We announce once again Wednesday evening there will be, the Lord willing, a congregational meeting. Candidates for elder are Mr. Gerald Brunn and Mr. John Moons. For deacon, Mr. Ben Outshorn and Mr. Hank Arnold Dusen. Psalter 389, stanzas 1 through 4. Congregation, we ask your attention in this afternoon for a portion of that chapter that was read to you, Luke 1, and thereof verses 63 and 64. Luke 1, verses 63 and 64. And he asked for a writing table and wrote, saying, his name is John. And they marveled all. And his mouth was opened immediately, and his tongue loosed, and he spake and praised God. So far the words of our text. The glorification of God's grace at the circumcision of John the Baptist. First, the consequences of his unbelief. Second, the evidence of faith. And third, the glory of God. The glorification of God's grace at the circumcision of John the Baptist. The consequences of unbelief. The evidence of faith. And the glory of God. And he asked for a writing table. Why was that, congregation? Because he could not speak. And that is the consequence of his unbelief. Behold, thou shalt be dumb and not able to speak until the day these things shall be performed, because thou believest not my words, which shall be fulfilled in their season. Oh, how awful is that wretched unbelief! It is against the power of God. It is against the faithfulness of God. That wretched unbelief, which in our thought that makes that high and holy and almighty being to be just as one of ourselves. And yet how weak is the faith of that church when it comes to exercising that faith. Then they have to learn that not only is the essence of faith that gift of God, but that also the exercise of faith needs to be given by him. Unbelief. Unbelief that is a great grief to that church of God. No, that is not a grief to those who are in the state of unbelief. No, they have no grief at all. They have no spiritual life. They are dead. They do not grieve over spiritual things. No, they can only grieve over all the things that are in this world. But that wretched unbelief, that is the grief of those who have that faith planted in their heart, but have to experience what that condition of unbelief is in their life. Think only of the father of that lunatic, in that great need of his life for his dear son. But he was not able to give himself to believe in that power of the Lord Jesus. When the Lord Jesus says to him, believest thou that I am able to do this? Oh, then if only that he could believe it. But then he has seen that the disciples of the Lord Jesus were not able. Oh, is that master then of those disciples? Is he able? to cast this devil out of my son? Oh, young people, you are going to hear in your life, because it is all around us, that there is a people that are condemning that true church of God because of their unbelief. Just as if that people are glad with it. It is a people that are looked down upon by those who are standing upon their heights, by a people that have everything in a spiritual way in their own hands. Or do you think that this man, this Zacharias, that he was glad that he had no power to believe in those words of the angel of the Lord? What did the angel say to him? And what did the angel promise him? He promised him that which was lying so near to his heart. Or he promised him that which he so longed for in his life. Or would he not have been so glad if he only could have received the words of that angel? Would he not have been so glad when he only could have believed that those words of the angel really and certainly would come to pass? No, he was not happy with his unbelief. No, he was ashamed of himself. But that shame does not take away his inability to believe it. That shame does not make him 1 year younger in his life. That shame does not bring his wife back to her youth again. That shame does not take away all the circumstances which make it so impossible that such a thing should come to pass. Oh yes, one day they had expected it. That was that day that they had first married. And then, month after month, and year after year after year, what has the Lord done? The Lord has broken down all their expectations and taken away every hope that they may receive the desire of their heart. And now there is a church that is not a stranger of that way that Zacharias and Elizabeth had to go in their life. That are not able to take that promise into their own hands. Why not? Because that promise that is much too great for them. And he asked for a writing table. That unbelief is closing the mouth of God's church so that they cannot speak. For Zacharias, that was physical. But there is a church in this world that does not dare to speak. And why not? Because unbelief that is closing their mouth. Thus that unbelief that is breaking the communion between the people of the Lord, because they are not able to speak, they are not able to commune with them when their mouth is closed. And he asked for a writing table. That is the consequence of unbelief. I think that Zacharias, he had to do this for 9 months to ask for a writing table. In that time, Then his wife conceived. I think that Zacharias had times that he wished he could speak. When his wife was with child. But still he had to live out the consequences of that unbelief. So that his mouth is closed. Are there not, people of the Lord, those times that you wish that you could speak? And yet, then the Lord closes your mouth so that you are not able even to say sometimes what is burning within your heart to your own loved ones, your wife, your husband, your children. And he asked for a writing table, so there was also now. Zacharias has something to say. And he wishes to speak, but he cannot speak. And therefore he asks for a writing table. And then instead he is writing. And what he writes, that is, then we see in that not unbelief, but we see in that the evidences of faith. That is our second thought. And he asked for a writing table and wrote, saying, his name is John. People said, his name is Zacharias. The mother said, no. But she says, not so, but he shall be called John. And then where do the people go? They go to Zacharias. And why? He is the head. He has the greatest responsibility, fathers, in your household. And thus they go to Zacharias. And they made signs to his father how he would have him called. Congregation, what a question for Zacharias. Zacharias, what is going to be the name of your child? Why do we say that? What a question for Zacharias. Because when they are asking after the name of his child, then that is bringing Zacharias back. It must bring him back to that time that he is standing before the angel of the Lord. And the words which that angel has spoken to him. And then he could not believe it. Now where is he standing? He is standing with his child at his circumcision. Oh, who can utter the mighty acts of the Lord? And who can show forth all his praise? Zacharias, what shall you now name your child? And then he wrote. And he wrote, saying, his name is John. Then there is no more unbelief. You say he does not need faith. That child is born. He sees it. No, that is not right. And why is that not right? Because the promise that has not only to do with his son, but that promise has to do with that promise of that coming Messiah. And that is not yet fulfilled. But John, he sees something here in this child that is so much more than just receiving commonly a child of the Lord. Why is that? Because the Lord himself has connected the birth of this child with the coming of his only begotten Son. Because he shall be the forerunner of that Christ which is to come. And therefore, the birth of this child that is not able to be separated from the coming of that Son of God. His name is John. No, he did not need to make a decision. He did not have to think about what the name of his child shall be. And why not? Because that child was already named. He does not even say as his wife, he shall be called. No, he says it is done. He says his name is John. Thus, the exercise of faith that now gives him to walk in the way of obedience. It was the command of the Lord, and he shall be called John. Then he does not name him after himself. No, to receive his own glory. But he is named, that name that the Lord gives him, so that the Lord may be glorified. His name is John. Thus he writes by a true faith. What is now the meaning of that name, John? That is, God is gracious. Zacharias experienced that in his life. God is gracious. He did not deserve this. Or when he could not believe it, when he had to ask for a sign, and then it was only right that the Lord said, Zacharias, I withdraw it. And yet, the Lord fulfills it. His name is John. That was, however, much more than a personal blessing in the life of this Zacharias. Why? Because Zacharias, he here rejoices for a church that is waiting for the fulfillment of that promise given already 4,000 years ago. And Zacharias had to wait so many years. And Zacharias' expectation had to be taken away. But Zacharias now rejoices on behalf of a church who has waited and whose expectation that has come so low. His name is John. God is gracious. Oh, by faith he sees that fulfillment so close by that the Lord has promised concerning his own church. His name is John. God is gracious. Oh, the Lord has made it so sure in that life of Zacharias and that he may say to all those who wait for that salvation of the Lord, that he is coming, and that he is surely coming. Oh, what is it that the Lord himself draws the attention of his waiting people to, when the Lord gives this name unto that forerunner of his only begotten Son, that is, to the grace of God? His name is John. God is gracious. And that is now the lesson that the Lord must teach his church in order to the receiving of that Son of God. John, we read, he will be sent before him, we read, to prepare his ways. That is, that room may be made for that beloved mediator. And then we know that also, even in the hearts of those whose heart is longing after that true and that living God, our Creator, our Maker, that still there is no room in our heart for such a mediator, for such a deliverer. And then it is in the instruction that they must receive from above that the Lord must lead them. And the Lord gives them then to experience that their own unworthiness, that is so great, but that unworthiness of a man that would make a person to despair of all hope and expectation. His name is John. Grace. God is gracious. Grace. That is precisely for a people who are unworthy. And therefore God so named this child before he was conceived in the womb. This is the preparation that a soul must receive before that it can receive that blessed Savior into their heart. That he must be made to look for grace. That he must be made to look for mercy. And mercy alone to one who is so unworthy. Every other way needs to be cut off in the life of God's people, so that only grace remains. And then there is room for a Savior. That is the way that was so different, congregation, than that way that the scribes and the Pharisees did lead the children of Israel in the time of the Lord Jesus Christ. Although they were surrounded by the message of the Holy Gospel and the way of all of the ceremonies, in the way of the priesthood, in the way of all of the sacrifices. They are surrounded by that message of the gospel. They must administer that gospel in the midst of all the children of Israel. And yet they departed from its message. Oh, man will ever go that way of a broken covenant. And now what does the Lord do? The Lord, before the coming of that Messiah, he is sending forth one that may prepare the way for his people. One that may instruct that church. One that may give them to be prepared to look for him actually who was coming. What kind of a Savior that he would be. And therefore he is sent as John
God is gracious.
And what did he preach? Do you know that, boys and girls? What did John say when he preached? Then John says, the time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. He said, repent ye and believe the gospel. What is the gospel? God is gracious. Oh, what a relief that was. For those who were oppressed by that doctrine of the scribes and of the Pharisees, for whom that doctrine was too heavy, that could not bear up under that doctrine. Thus it was a poor and a needy church that followed after John the Baptist, who needed more than the Pharisees were ever able to give to them for the comfort of their own soul. And then what a wonder, when he stood and when he pointed out him who was to come, and that he said, behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Oh, what a message for a people who had tried every way and were not able to take away their own sin. And that they may hear that that sin will be taken away by that perfect sacrifice, that Lamb of God. And he wrote, saying, his name is John. God is gracious. It is a matter of faith. It is a matter of the exercise of faith in the life of this man, Zacharias. And what is the fruit of that? Let us sing first. Psalter 73, stanzas 2, 5, and 6. O Lord, regard me when I cry. In mercy, hear me when I speak. Thou bidst me seek thy face. And I, O Lord, with willing heart reply. And thy face, Lord, will I seek. Stanzas 2, 5, and 6 of Psalter 73.
Thank you.
And he asked for a writing table and wrote, saying, His name is John. And they marveled all, and his mouth was opened immediately, and his tongue loosed, and he spake and praised God. And they marveled all, they did not understand it, that his name should be John. That was not according to the common way. That was something out of the ordinary. That was something marvelous. And they marveled all the work of God that is mystery to the natural mind. Then they cannot comprehend the way that the Lord is working in the life of His people. And so often so it is also to the sanctified mind, because the Lord is leading His church in a way, as the blind we read, in a way that they do not know. But now for Zacharias it becomes different. His mouth is opened immediately, and his tongue loosed, and he spake. What is it? That is the breaking of the bonds that Zacharias has been in over these 9 months. That is according to the word of the Lord, when he said, And behold, thou shalt be dumb and not able to speak until the day that these things shall be performed. Oh, what was that day? When were those bonds broken? That was not when that child was born. That was not at his birth. But those bonds were broken under the sacrament. And those bonds were broken under the administration of a circumcision. Then it was their custom to give a name to their children at the time of circumcision. That goes back to Abraham. When Abraham received his new name from the Lord and was then circumcised. Thus, under and by this sacrament, the Lord is giving that faith may come into exercise in that life of Zacharias. And it is, congregation, when faith is brought into exercise that Zacharias receives his freedom. Why? Because where the Spirit of the Lord is, then there is liberty. And then his mouth goes open, and then he may speak. Then his tongue, we read, is loosed. And then what is coming out of his mouth? What does he then tell? Then he may tell of the wonders of the Lord. And his mouth was opened immediately, and his tongue loosed, and he spake and praised God. Oh, what do we do when we open our mouth? What comes out of our mouth? When we open it, is there not so much praise of ourselves? And what may Zacharias now do? Zacharias may praise God. Are you jealous of him? Does that desire also lay in your heart? Do you ever feel grief in your heart because you are not able to praise God? As we have been created to do in paradise. And he praised God. The praises of God, they are his decree. God, He is the final cause of all things. And his praise,
that is his final end, his aim. That is the reason that he has created man. But that is especially the reason that he has decreed the fall of man and also the redemption of man through his Son. Therefore, the very purpose of the Lord in sending his Holy Spirit to give faith, and not only faith, but the exercise of faith, that is to that one end, that is the praise of the Lord. And how is the Holy Spirit working then? Oh, the Lord is making it so true in the life of his people. Oh, then Zechariah, he has to believe. Then there is no question in his mind. No, then faith, and that is triumphing over all unbelief and over all doubt. And then he must speak of it. And who does he speak of it to? Oh, read it when you come home, young people. Oh, that blessed prophecy of Zechariah, that he now opens his mouth and he praises God. But then he is speaking, we can read there, of those who are sitting in darkness and in the shadow of death. Is that not the fruit of unbelief? Does Zechariah know that place? Zechariah knows it so well. But now Zechariah may also know what it is to receive life and light and liberty, to praise God. And therefore Zechariah, he would say, come now. Take courage, all of you that are distressed. All of you that are in darkness. All of you that are waiting. All of you that are sorrowing after God. Oh, all of you for whom that promise is too great for you to receive it. All of you for whom that matter that is much too high. All of you that say that you are so unworthy to receive that blessing of the Lord. All of you who are mocked by that mere professing Christianity because you don't have the ability in your own hands to believe it. Oh, what does Zechariah say? Then he says his name is John. God is gracious. It is really true. I could not believe it either. But now I stand with my own Son, oh, that Son, and that is given to me from the Lord. What does he say? Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he hath visited and redeemed his people. Why? To perform the mercy promised to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant, O congregation. We have witnessed in this afternoon also this sacrament, holy baptism, who has given that sacrament in the midst of the church. Is it not a sacrament that comes not from man, but that comes from above? Or does that not address those who are filthy? Does not that address those who are polluted? Does not that address everyone who is so full of corruption? And now what has the Lord himself commanded by his messenger? The Lord has commanded that his name shall be called John. God is gracious. Oh, that is what John may preach. Therefore, there were publicans and sinners that also came to John that they may be baptized of him. Oh, what does the Lord say with that blessed sacrament? Does he not then proclaim a fountain that is open for sin and for uncleanness? Oh, is that not the cleansing that is now necessary for you and I to enter in, that we may be washed, that we may be cleansed, and that we may be forgiven and made fit to dwell with him who is so holy? Or are there any that are too filthy to be washed and by that blood that is so, so powerful to forgive every sin? Oh, do we believe that the Lord is then finished in the gathering of his church and in the applying of that blood to the doorpost of the heart of sinners? No, he is not finished. Not until the last day of this world has come and gone. And that is why he says, come and let us reason to gather, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, it is but a few words, but we may also see it. O thou hast given it, Lord. O his name is John. O prepare us also in our hearts to receive grace, because that is that blessed new and living way. And Lord, we are so corrupt that we cannot leave that broken covenant. Oh, instruct us in the impossibility because of the corruption of our flesh and the weakness thereof, that that way may become the only way, and that we may be given to submit under it, that we may receive thereof that blessed freedom and that blessed liberty, that our mouth may go open in the praises of the Lord. O Lord, do it in the midst of thy church, in the midst of us, and in the midst of all thy church over the length and the breadth of this whole world. Wilt thou bring thy word in our hearts? Give us to meditate on word and sacrament in the coming week. Help each one of us with all our labors. Be with us, each one in the place of our life in this world. Remember us with catechism and confession classes, when we meet as a consistory, and when we hope to meet also as a congregation. Lord, show thyself to be in the midst of us as one that serveth. Oh, forgive our many sins for Jesus' sake. Amen. Psalter 174, stanzas 2, 3, and 4. Through pain and trouble thou hast led and humbled all our pride. But in the end to liberty and wealth thy hand did guide. Here in thy house I give to thee the life that thou dost bless, and pay the solemn vows I made when I was in distress. 2, 3, and 4 of Psalter 174.
Oh, thou hast led.
Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up
his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.